Good morning. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Romans, the first chapter? Romans, the first chapter. Good to see all of you this morning. We have a good crowd, several visitors with us, and we're proud that you've come to be with us today. As it describes the decline of the Gentile world from a knowledge of God, away from that to all of the pagan excesses that were in evidence in the days of the Apostle Paul, we see him describing that initial break with an understanding of God coming in this way. In verse 21 of chapter 1, it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." It's interesting to me to see that here, one of the first things that takes place when people get away from a knowledge of God is the fact that they cease to honor him and they cease to give thanks for what he has done for them. I think that is important for us to be able to understand as we live our lives, to realize that our departure from God can come in exactly the same way if we're not careful. This is not something that is just characteristic of nations and tribes and peoples, but it is something that can take place in churches. It's something that can take place in families. It's something that can take place in individuals who are trying to serve God. If they fail to honor God, and if they fail to give thanks to God, no telling what can happen. As it continues in that same passage, it says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." All of the pagan mythologies that you've ever read about, in which you see the gods represented by animals or represented by humans with animal heads or with animal characteristics, or sometimes even among the Greeks where you had them appearing simply in human form, but yet with not necessarily the moral restraint that you see in human beings. You see all of that developing out of a failure to honor God and a failure to be thankful to the Lord. Now, one of the ways that we honor God is, of course, being thankful. But we can talk a lot about what it means to honor God, and perhaps at some time in the future we'll emphasize that in more than one lesson, because I really believe it would take more than just one. But you notice by refusing to be thankful, it led to all of the speculations that developed in the pagan world as people got away from God, got away from a true knowledge of God to a false knowledge of God, and speculations about all of these kinds of things to try to explain how the world came to be and the forces that come to play in bringing out the phenomena that we see round about us. It all happens because people fail to honor God and refused to be thankful to God. This morning I'd like to talk about that idea because I think it is important for us to understand that one of the reasons why we see time and time again in the New Testament the emphasis being on our being thankful to the Lord is because of the hazard of our failing to do so. In Colossians, the third chapter in verse 15, there we see the Apostle Paul as he talks to the brethren from Colossae in the southern part of the Roman province of Asia. He tells them very simply, he said, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." You know, you would think thankfulness would be something that would come naturally to people, but I'm here to tell you this morning that it is not. It is something that has to be learned, and it is something that can be practiced, and it is something that can be improved on. I know you parents who have infant children think that those infant children are thankful to you. I hate to break this to you, but they're not very thankful right now. You know, have you noticed that they never make any effort? I realize they're nonverbal, but they never make any effort to show that they're thankful when you wake up in the middle of the night and go in there and change their diaper. They don't say anything about it. They don't even give any indication that they're thankful. They just want to holler, want their britches changed, and want you to go on your way and everything will be fine. Because after all, you're a parent, that's what you're supposed to do. They're not thankful. When they're hungry, you know, I'll tell you, I remember when I had younger brothers, I often looked forward to the day when they could talk. And then when they started to be able to talk, I looked forward to the day when they wouldn't talk anymore. You know, it's a good thing little babies can't talk, because what would they say? Hungry! Now! Dirty! Wet! Thank you. You know, there's all kinds of situations that they would do. It wouldn't really take many words, because they're not really expecting anything different. They've never lived in a world in which their every need was not met by just their crying a little bit. Even sometimes, they're just lonely. That used to aggravate me more than anything. To get up in the middle of the night, and there you look at that child, and he's been crying, and all of a sudden he sees you and he quits crying and he gives you one of those kind of drunk looking smiles. You rascal. Here you, all you were just lonely in the middle of the night, and you wake me up for this? Of course, you had to pick him up and play with him a little bit. But you know, they don't think of a world any different than that. They think that's the way the world is supposed to operate. That's where why it is with young people sometimes. They need to be reminded that the things that they get come from God, but God uses their parents very often as a means by which those blessings are bestowed. I remember a family in Texas I knew one time who had a child who was being especially disrespectful and ungrateful. So they basically took everything away from the child. They took the bed, the furniture, they took all of the pictures off of the wall in their room. They took all of their clothes out of their closet, except one set of clothes that they could wear and one set of clothes that was there when the other one was being washed. And they had to earn their privileges back. That taught that child a little bit of gratitude. Because before, they just expected, you know, if I want new clothes, I can get new clothes. If I want food, I can get it any hour of the day or night. You know, if I want to go anywhere, I can just get in the car and go. And here, all of those privileges were taken away, and it took that to teach that child gratitude. The scriptures throughout emphasize the importance of making sure that we are people who are grateful. And this morning I want to talk about that idea. Not only to make sure that we don't slip away into speculative thought about God or a failure to think about Him and retain Him in our knowledge, but so that we might be able to develop a quality that God recognizes as valuable, and frankly, we as human beings value as well. When we're dealing with young children, we have to first, in order to make sure that they begin to understand the process of gratitude, we have to first teach them to express thankfulness. And I'm convinced that children have to learn to express thankfulness sometimes long before they become thankful. What do you tell children to do? Somebody gives you something and they'll say, "Thank you." Thank you. Tell them thank you. What do you say? Thank you. And they'll say that. And you know, again, parents, I don't want to shatter your dreams. But just because your child has learned to say thank you doesn't mean they're thankful. Now, they're expressing thankfulness because you have told them that that is what is required when someone does you a good turn. But it is not something that comes easily and natural to human beings to be able to understand thankfulness. We first have to express thankfulness. But that's important to do. That's an important part of how we learn to be thankful for the things that we have. Let me give you a couple of passages in the Old Testament that I think illustrate this point. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter, in verse 10, there we see the idea of thankfulness being something that is required of God's people. You remember Deuteronomy was a series of sermons that Moses gave on the plains of Moab before he was going to leave them, to try to let them understand some of the things that they would face when they entered into the land of Canaan. In chapter 8 and verse 10, there he talks about the fact that they'd come into the land, that God would bless them with all kinds of bounty, that here they'd been living in the desert for 40 years, and the Lord was going to let them live in houses that they didn't build, to drink water from cisterns that they didn't dig, to be able to eat food from fields that they hadn't initially planted, and to be able to drink wine from orchards that they hadn't been able to, that they hadn't been able to plant. And he says in verse 10 of chapter 8, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." Here, expressed thankfulness is something that he says is a requirement. But it is not all that is involved in thankfulness. We say thanks when we eat our meals. I hope you do. That when you sit down to eat, that you thank the Lord for the food that you're about to eat. That when you're in a restaurant or when you're by yourself, that you thank the Lord for the things that he has given you to be able to eat. Because let me tell you, there are people all over the world that woke up this morning who had nothing to eat. I remember there was a brother when I preached in Texas back a few years ago who was from central Mexico originally, from Guanajuato, I think. And he was with us at a men's Bible class that met in somebody's home. And I was asking him if he liked coffee, and he said, "Yeah, I like coffee." I said, "Did you start drinking it early in Mexico?" And he says, "Oh yes, I drank coffee from the time that I was just a little child." And he said, "Coffee was what we drank when we didn't have anything else to eat in the morning." Kind of ruined the whole direction I was wanting to go in that conversation. But here you have him talking about the fact that, you know, when we didn't have anything to eat, we drank coffee just to be able to hold off the hunger pains that might develop in our stomachs because we hadn't eaten anything. There are a lot of people like that today. We need to be thankful for the fact that we have something to eat, and we need to express that thankfulness to the Lord. Whatever you put in your mouth, we need to thank the Lord for it. Whenever you're able to put on clothes that fit you, that are not filled with holes, that are not ragged, you need to thank the Lord that you were able to wear something that would keep you protected from the summer heat and something that would protect you from the cold of winter. When you have shoes to wear, you need to be thankful to the Lord that you have shoes. I can remember when I first started going to Ethiopia in 2006, and if you went out into the bush, you never saw women wearing shoes. Men would wear some kind of a shoe, but women never wore them. By the last time I had gone to Ethiopia, almost all the women wore flip-flops. And that was an amazing accomplishment for the fact that their country was on the rise, that here, instead of having barefooted women who'd sometimes walk miles to come to the meeting house, you had them having flip-flops and thankful for them because that wasn't what they had before. Almost all the kids were still barefooted, but that may have changed over the last several years. When was the last time you thought to thank the Lord for your shoes? When was the last time you thought to thank the Lord for the nice meeting house that we have to meet in? Do you realize what a nice meeting house this is? It is not like meeting houses that we met in when I was a child. You know, these, I can remember hearing that there were congregations that had padded benches, but I had never seen them until I got to be in my early teens. Because nicer buildings had wooden pews. We had slat pews in the congregation where I went. They had been built by some brothers, and they had slats in them about that wide. I know I'd never checked it out, but I'm sure my backside looked like I had sat on a waffle iron by the time that I got through with service. Because that's what it felt like anyway. I can remember, we sat in an air-conditioned facility here today. It is warm, or will become warm outside, and here we are, and the temperature feels like it is the fall or the spring of the year. You know how wonderful that is? You remember what kind of air conditioning we used to have when I was a kid? Those funeral home fans that your mother never would let you have because you needed to save them for the old ladies. I remember hoping that I could be an old lady one day so that I might be able to use one. We're blessed in so many ways. Can you imagine being able to travel in a car? I remember air conditioning was not a common feature in automobiles when I was a little boy. And we would go from Oklahoma, where I live, down to visit my kinfolks in Texas by getting up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the kids would still be in there. We'd still be in our pajamas, laying in the back seat and over in the area back behind the back seat, or up in the area, you know, what do you call that? The back. We just called it the backity back back, which meant behind the back seat. And we'd have a child sleeping back there. And we would have the windows open, because the cool of the evening, even if it was hot, was cooler than it would be under any circumstance, because it was almost too hot to travel in a car, even with the windows down during the daytime when you're going in the summer from Oklahoma to Texas. And you know, most of us probably drove here in cars that have air conditioning in them. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? We need to be thankful to the Lord for the physical blessings that we have. Because here, express thankfulness is the very start of what we do with our children. And it needs to be a starting place for us as we serve God, as we praise Him, as we're thankful to Him for the physical blessings that we enjoy and appreciate. In the 107th Psalm, in verse 22, here again, that idea of express thankfulness is mentioned. Where it says, let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His works with joyful singing. Let me tell you something you may not have noticed. Do you realize how many of the songs that we sing carry a message of thankfulness to the Lord? You may not have noticed. Because sometimes our minds disengage while they are supposed to be concentrating on the thankfulness of the message that we are singing about. Now that's expressed thankfulness. And we need to do that. We need to thank the Lord not only for the physical blessings that we enjoy, but the spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. We do that in the songs that we sing, but we only do that in the songs that we sing if we engage our minds and our hearts in expressing that thankfulness with our mouths and engage our minds in that process. Do we do that? Do we offer that sacrifice of thanksgiving with our lips? Do we tell of the works of the Lord in our joyful singing? Wouldn't that be terrible if our singing was such that because we weren't concentrating on the words, it showed in the way that we sang? And instead of robust singing, we wound up being engaged in just singing that was without enthusiasm, without understanding, without genuine praise. And instead of genuinely telling of the works of the Lord in our joyful singing, we gave a message of the fact that we didn't care, because instead of being joyful and thankful, our singing was abysmal. We need to think better about it. We need to do like children are expected to do, and express thankfulness to the Lord for our physical and our spiritual blessings. But you know, a child, once it's learned to be verbally thankful, it needs to also learn to be genuinely thankful. And that takes a little more effort on the part of a person. And I think it takes a little more effort on the part of us as Christians. You know, we may be able to say a prayer about the food that we're about to eat, or maybe able to say a prayer in an assembly in which we mention that we're thankful about something, but maybe not have genuine thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord. That's why it emphasizes in 1 Thessalonians the 5th chapter and verse 18 the importance of our being thankful. You notice here it says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We need to be people who don't just express thankfulness, but we truly give thankfulness. We show the Lord through the things that we think about, through the concentration that goes on when we sing songs of thankfulness, when we pray prayers of thankfulness, that it's the kind of thing that pleases God through what we do, because it reflects not only words, but it reflects genuine sentiments in our heart that we are thankful to the Lord for the physical and especially the spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Him. You remember in the first chapter of the book of Colossians, in verses 9 through 12, there the Apostle Paul, as he talks about this important idea, he breaks into prayer in verse 9 by saying, "For this reason, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Lord who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Not just expressing thankfulness, but joyously giving thanks to the Father because He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. There is nobody in the world more blessed than we. We are people who, because of the fact that a long, long time ago, in a place far, far away, God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross so that through His blood and our contact with that blood, through our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we might be able to be people who are now qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Been an awful lot in the election recently in which you've seen the kids of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a very rich man, in case you hadn't figured that out. His kids, he's put in charge of their own businesses, and their businesses are very, very successful. What would happen if all of a sudden you got a letter from Donald Trump and he said, "You know, I don't really think I've got enough children of my own. I'd like to adopt." And instead of adopting a child that is really too young for me, I've got one child that's young, but that's keeping me pretty busy. I want to adopt a child that's done. And I want it to be you, Curtis Pope. Curtis Trump. Doesn't sound too bad. "You know, I'm up for adoption. You know, my father's dead. My mother, I could talk to about it. But I think if, you know, Donald Trump wanted to adopt me and give me part of his inheritance, who am I to stop him? Now, let me tell you, as ridiculous as that sounds, do you know what the great judge of all of the earth has done? He has, through the message of the gospel, sent you a letter that says, you know what I want? I want to adopt you as mine. Oh, Lord, do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what I've said? Oh, Lord, I've betrayed you in the things that I've done and said over the course of my lifetime. And he says, you know what? I'm going to forgive that through the blood of Jesus Christ in your acceptance of the terms of pardon, and I'm going to make you someone who shares in the inheritance of the saints in light. Of all the people who have ever lived, you are going to be most blessed by being part of that group of people who are my sanctified ones, who are the ones that I'm going to allow to be those that I inherit with heaven and all the blessings that implies. Let me tell you, God's inheritance is better than Donald Trump's inheritance. You know, Curtis Pope, Christian, sounds an awful lot better than Curtis Trump. And we need to understand that. And we need to appreciate that and make sure that our genuine thankfulness is expressed as it talks about not just saying thanks, but truly giving thanks to the Father by recognizing the powerful things that He has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Back in the 100th Psalm, we see the very same idea expressed when we see here in this Psalm of Thanksgiving. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It's He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. We need to understand that. We need to realize the place that we are in because of what was done for us in Jesus Christ by the great judge of all of the earth. We need to remember where we were and remember where we are. Did you ever see the movie or read any of the comic strips about Little Orphan Annie? You know, here you had a little girl that was an orphan. That's why they called her Little Orphan Annie. She is adopted by Daddy Warbucks. And so here you have this little girl who had no prospects. Now with all prospects, because Daddy Warbucks has adopted her with all of the privileges that involves. Let me tell you, Daddy Warbucks is nothing compared to the great judge of all of the earth and the adoption that He has made possible for us. Therefore, we should enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. It's more than just a rote thing that we do every Sunday because, after all, we don't want to go to hell. It ought to be something we do gladly because we genuinely are thankful for what's been made available to us in Jesus Christ. But you know, not only is there expressed thankfulness and then there's genuine thankfulness, but there's an even greater appreciation that those of us who have been Christians for a time really need to allow ourselves to develop. So that instead of just expressing thankfulness from time to time, or being genuinely thankful from time to time, and giving thanks, we need to be people who develop an even greater appreciation for what the Lord has done for us and allow it to show in the things that we are and in the things that we do. Realizing what it took to purchase our adoption as sons. In the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, beginning in verse 6, it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, occasionally you'll find some sort of medal, sometimes even the Congressional Medal of Honor, awarded to a soldier who sacrificed his life by throwing himself on a live grenade so that his compatriots would be able to be saved. As hard as that'd be, I think I can understand that. In fact, I don't know that in some of those situations he necessarily felt the same kind of affection toward all of the people who were in his group. He probably, in order to save a couple that he really liked, was willing to die even for folks that were good enough but not his closest friends. But to throw yourself on a grenade to save your enemies is almost unheard of. And here it tells us, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Don't you think that ought to give us a greater appreciation to know that we were rebels against the Lord and His cause? That we were standing up and wanting to be lords in our own lives instead of submitting to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? That ought to be the kind of thing that lets us understand and appreciate the wonderful blessings that the Lord has made available to us in Jesus. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, in verse 19, there the Apostle John, probably writing even as late as the 90s A.D., says, "We love because He first loved us." You know, that's a very short verse, but it is filled with every thought of what God has done to love us and how our response to that needs to be not just, "Lord, thank You," not to be just, "Lord, I'm going to give thanks to You in singing and prayer," but, "Lord, I'm going to love You. And I'm going to love Your people, and I'm going to love Your word, because You loved me first in all that that involved. In a plan that was concocted before the foundation of the world that made it possible so that if I were the only one that needed redeeming, there would be a plan that would make it possible." Can you imagine the Lord contemplating eternity without you there? Thought it was such a terrible possibility that He couldn't stand it and made it possible for us to be able to go to heaven with Him when we died, because He would offer the ultimate sacrifice in His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that deserves even greater appreciation, even greater understanding, an attitude that doesn't just say thanks from time to time, but an attitude that genuinely is thankful and spends its day finding reasons to give thanks and praise to God. In the 15th chapter of the book of John, in verses 12 and 13, there Jesus, as He talks to His apostles there on the night that He was betrayed, He says, "This is My commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends." That's what the Lord did for us. I'll tell you, you'll never have a better friend. You don't want to betray this friend. You'll never have a greater friend than the one who, when it came down to it, that the price that it took to be able to buy you back from the sin that you'd sold yourself into slavery for was the blood of the only begotten, perfect Son of God, and He paid it without giving it an extra thought so that you might be able to be redeemed. But you know, not only does He want us to love Him, but He wants us to love one another. I think I might be able to work that out, knowing that the Lord wants that of me. He wants me to show my thankfulness to Him by being loving to His people. Now let me tell you, sometimes His people aren't worth it. Sometimes I'm not worth it. But I know our Lord's worth it. And our greater appreciation needs to be shown not just by the fact that our lives and our hearts and our days are filled with constant praise, but are shown by the love that we have toward Him by loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. But Lord, you don't know how cranky so-and-so can be. Or you don't know how aggravating so-and-so can be. Lord, you don't know how unreliable so-and-so can be. Yeah, you know, he really does. And He loved them enough to die on the cross for them. You know, if we really love Him, you'd think that we'd love Him enough to realize that even if our brothers and sisters aren't worth it on their own merits, they're worth it on the merit that has been given to them through Jesus Christ. Be thankful. It's something that can keep us from going down that terrible path that the Gentile world went down and made such futile speculations about how the world came to be and what people were expected to do. But you know, it's also something that the Lord has a right to expect of us, that we are people who are thankful by expressing it. But not just by expressing it. By genuinely being thankful. But not just by genuinely being thankful. But by people who live lives of joyful praise to God and thankfulness to Him for who He is, for what He's done. And show that by the way that we treat other people, those that might be able to be drawn into the kingdom of God and those who are already in it, so that we might be able to in some way express our gratitude to the Lord by the love that we show toward Him and others. What's your attitude this morning? Are you thankful for what God has done for you in Jesus Christ? I know there are people in the audience this morning who haven't obeyed Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, in effect, what you are doing by not responding in faith and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ is you are basically saying, Lord, thanks, but no thanks. I know what you've done for me. But you know, I think I'd really like to continue to be Lord in my life and continue to live the life that I want to live, whatever that may lead to one day. Let me tell you, that is the most foolish decision you could ever make. Show your thankfulness to the Lord for sending Christ to die for you by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, by repenting of what you've done that's wrong, by confessing that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and being baptized so your sins can be washed away. Then you can begin a life in which you begin this process of even greater gratitude more and more each day. If you as a child of God haven't lived as you should because you haven't been thankful, you may need to start the process all over again. But our goal is to live lives in which we live constantly in a state of joy because of the wonderful things God has done for us and the thankfulness we show to Him for it. If there's any way we can help anyone as they make things right with God this morning, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.